right. We got some folks over here praying, but that'll be all right. Let's continue to pray for Brother Danny Wynn. I'm sorry I failed to mention your name, Brother Danny, but let's continue to pray for Brother Danny and Sister Christine Bale, or Sister Christine King. I want you to continue to pray for her. And I think Sister Carolyn Massey, she was telling me that she's got to go have some tests before long about her heart. So y'all continue to pray for Sister Carolyn Massey. All right. Good to see Brother Greg come in. Now, we went Sunday night, and we were over at Rockmart at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, and Brother Hoyt Lewis is their interim pastor. He asked us to come. They're in revival tonight. They started Monday night, and so I went and just sort of helped them get started a little bit, and I tried to preach to them, and I told them, I said, I'm no revivalist, if you know what that means. I'm not a revival preacher, but I tried my best. I preached to them on building, praying, and looking, amen, out of the book of Jude, if you're familiar with that. And so I tried to encourage them and strengthen them in the Lord in that message. But then Monday night, just for the sake of being supportive, I went back and was with them on Monday night, and they had a preacher there, a pastor. I've heard him preach one other time, and he's from Carrollton, Georgia, right down the road. I don't know, has anybody ever heard of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church? Do you know the pastor's name? Doug somebody. Doug New. Have you ever met him? Ever heard him preach? Well, brother, I tell you what, he shelled the corn Monday night. I tell you what, this guy is good. He preached on the change, a change. And he just read one verse out of 1 Corinthians 15:51. Therefore, we all shall not sleep, but we all shall be changed. And he took that word changed, and buddy, I'm telling you, he preached it and paint off the wall, however you want to say it, shell the corn, amen. And I mean, brother, the hide came off on that one, brother. He just preached it old-timey way, Brother Greg. I'm telling you, he talked about how people were to live right and do right and get right with God and quit sinning, get out of the sinning business, and all that. Man, I tell you what, it was tremendous. And I'm sure there's no doubt about it that they hadn't heard a message like that in a long time. You got to know, I was born and raised in Rockmart. And I know a little bit of what goes on around there as far as some of the churches. And so, brother, it was great. I mean, I had to just say old me to some of it and amen to some of it too. But it was great. Brother Doug New, you say? Brother Doug New. I want Eddie to get acquainted with him. He is a tremendous preacher. Amen. And on top of all of that, he has a very bad heart. I mean, buddy, he has a bad heart, and he could die anytime, he told us. The doctors have already told him to quit preaching, and he said, ain't no way I'm not going to quit. Amen. So, hallelujah for that. I mean, he may die in the pulpit. I don't know. That's probably what he wants to do. But anyway, praise the Lord. I heard a great message on that word change. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, will you pray for us? And as we try to bring this message out of the book of Acts, chapter number 2. For the last several weeks in our Sunday school, we've been looking at the book of Acts, and it's been somewhat very good and wonderful, and we've really begun to look at the book of Acts in somewhat of a different way, And I know there's a lot of approaches to the book of Acts of the apostles as you read it and study it, and many preachers and teachers have probability brought many messages out of the book of Acts. And I tell you what, I think every Christian, every church member ought to read the book of Acts and get acquainted with it, because when you study it and know a lot of the background, a lot of what went on within those 28 chapters, 1,007 verses, you have about the first 30 years of church history. Got to keep that in mind, the first 30 years of church history. Of course, now we're down 2,000 years later, and it just seemed like that things are not really going good, is it, for the church? I tell you what, just something tonight that I thought as I studied it, and it began to sort of burn in my heart, and I hope it will be a help to you. I'm a little bit like Brother Freddie. I don't know how this is going to come out. I want it to come out maybe in a preaching way, but if it gets back to teaching or whatever, I want it to be a help to you and encouragement. And he said, well, Brother Freddie just said, just preach like it's your last time. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I don't know. I hope it's really not my last time. But, you know, in my heart, I thought, well, brother, that was good. I ought to just preach the Lord let me tonight. And this is a sacred place. This is a great place right here. And we respect it and we love it and we honor it tonight that God has allowed me to stand one more time. I appreciate the message last Wednesday night that Brother Greg Nix brought. I won't forget that one for a long time. May never forget that message and the way it was brought. But in the book of Acts chapter number 2, and I want to just read one verse. And I want to read verse 1, just a part of verse number 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Amen. Just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, you know my heart, God. Lord, I want to do my best, and Lord, to bring this message that you have, Lord, led me to and give me liberty tonight, Father, to try to bring it here to our church. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit, Lord, would just give us liberty, and Lord, just touch our mind and our heart, Lord, as we try to bring it, God, to instruct and exhort, Lord, our people in this message. Oh, Father, please be with the Wade family. God, I pray that you'll comfort and help them. Oh, God, I know their hearts are broken. Lord, at a dear, precious wife and a dear, precious mother, Lord, that might even be in heaven right now. Lord, I pray for the Weldon family. I pray, God, that you'll help that dear family tonight. And Lord, these others, Brother Danny and Sister Christine King. Oh, God, if there's ever been a day that we need you tonight, Lord, it's now. God, I pray that you'll help us and guide us in this message tonight. In Christ we pray, amen. Now, I don't know whether, I'm sure some of you tonight know what the word Pentecost means. Back a couple years ago, we tried to teach in our Bible class and even in our Sunday school lesson, the life of Christ. And some of this maybe may come back to your mind, but I think every person ought to have a general knowledge or about the life of Christ and about the Jewish nation and a lot of these things, that you'll fully or better understand the Bible when you know a little bit about Jewish culture and about Jewish history. The Jews were instructed by God Himself, according to Leviticus 23, they were to observe 7 yearly Jewish feasts. Now, these were not feasts like we might think they were, as far as whooping and hollering and having a good time, but these were on a spiritual level. And they were to remind Israel about the greatness and the faithfulness of God, starting with the Passover and going all the way through that year. They were three in the month of April. There was one in the month of June. And then there were three in the month of October. And these were yearly Jewish feasts that they were to observe. Within those seven feasts, there were three that were compulsory. That means that every Jewish male, the head of the home, or whoever he was to come to Jerusalem on those three compulsory feasts. Now, Brother Charles, which were they? They were Passover, they were Pentecost, and they were tabernacles. Those were the three compulsory feasts that they were to observe. Does anybody know that tonight? I know some of you may know that. And so here it is. We're talking about Pentecost. So that tells me what month it was. Already I know it was the month of June here as they were observing here the day of Pentecost. Now we all know our Lord lived on this earth as far as Bethlehem. To the day when he went back to heaven, around 33 and a half years. And we know that that he went and told them after he resurrected, he stayed on this earth 40 days, and then he went back to heaven. The Bible tells us he said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And so he was talking to those 12 apostles, or 11 if you please, until they settled that 12th spot there with a man called Matthias. And so God told them, or the Lord said to those 12 men, "I want you to stay in Jerusalem there until you be endued with power from on high." The Bible says that it was 10 days later, or on the day of Pentecost, which really means, the word Pentecost means 50 days. It means 50. And so we know that on that day it was Pentecost and the Holy Ghost came on that day. Well, I was telling my class this past Sunday, can you imagine? Now here they were, Brother Greg, in Jerusalem. And they had went to the upper room and there the Lord was gone. He was gone now. He was in heaven. And the Holy Ghost had not yet come. And for 10 long days there, they did not have the Lord. They did not have the Holy Ghost. But yet they met there, those 12 men, and they waited on God. They waited on what he had told them to do. Now, you have to go back again to get a little bit of what I'm going to try to preach to you in a few minutes. In the book of John, chapter 14, 15 and 16. Those are three very wonderful chapters in the Bible. And here the Lord Jesus, as he's talking to those 12 or 11, maybe 12 at one time, Judas Iscariot, but 11, he told them some things. And he said, "I must go away. I must go back to the Father." Now you got to remember again, these 11 men, they were totally ignorant of what the Lord was talking about. For all these many years, they'd been taught that Messiah was going to come. I mean, brother, they looked for him. But my friend, when Jesus finally come, their theology was so mixed up and confused, they thought he was going to come riding on a horse. They thought he was going to, my friend, go out there and kill all the Romans and set up the kingdom of God. But yet we see that it didn't happen that way. My friend, can you imagine as Jesus started his ministry? And there, that day when he went into the temple, again, I think every Christian, I think every church member, every Sunday school student, every Sunday school teacher ought to somewhere along the line instruct their students about the temple. Did you know our Lord, that he spent most of his time in the temple or in the synagogue there preaching? My friend, he loved the synagogue. He loved the temple there. And can you imagine in John 2, when the Lord went into that temple and seen all the confusion, all of the mess that was going on, and my friend, there was about three or four disciples that were with him. Again, the Lord took a whip, Brother Greg. My friend, he turned the tables over, and my friend, he ran that crowd out of there that day. My friend, I got to tell you this now. The temple was not a place like this.
My friend, that temple, they say Josephus, who was a great historian, who lived really during the days of Paul. He was actually a priest in the temple. Did you know what Josephus says? That temple could possibly hold up to 1 million people. Can you imagine that? Within that temple. Of course, it was divided into different parts and different places. And can you imagine that day when those disciples went in there and they seen the Lord take a whip and do all of that? My friend, I bet they stood over there shaking. They said, what in the world is he doing? I mean, what is he doing? And my friend there, those priests, and you read the story, you'll find they came to it and began to ask him questions. And immediately, my friend, they began to burn in their heart with hate and animosity toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those years, those 3.5 years, wherever he went, my friend, they tried to catch him in a lie. They tried to, dumbfound him. But my friend, little did they know who they were talking to. Amen. My friend, they was talking to none other than God himself. Amen. And my friend, there, all that short span of history, my friend, he proved himself without a shadow of a doubt Amen. That he was the Son of God. My friend there, as he comes to the end of his ministry, here he is in that upper room, or in that room there, my friend, given the last Passover and the institution of the Lord's Supper. And my friend, he said, I must go away. Oh, I've got to go away. But he said, when I go away, I will send the Comforter unto you. And going back and reading those chapters, we find that there were several questions that those disciples asked the Lord. And my friend Jesus gave them some tremendous answers to them. And so here we come. They're in the upper room, and there they are praying. And so the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I'm preaching tonight on this little simple thought, what really happened at Pentecost. What really happened at Pentecost? Now you got to remember again, those Jews, they knew about the Holy Ghost. I mean, friend, they had an understanding about the Holy Ghost. They recognized the Holy Ghost. But my friend, there were some things that they did not recognize about him. And so here the Lord Jesus Christ, as he talks to them in that upper room, they're telling them to go and wait in the upper room until you're being endued with power from on high. And I want you to know there, those 12 men, I know there were others there. The Bible says that there was around, I think, about 120. But I want you to just focus with me tonight, just for a few minutes, on those 12 apostles that were in that upper room. I wish that I could call all their names off, but I can't do it tonight. I've got my list here in verse number 13. Let me just read it, verse 13 to you. Here was Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Here are 11 men there in that upper room that had been with the Lord some three years in his ministry. And my friend, there they were praying. And my friend, waiting on God to come. Again, they were totally ignorant. They didn't fully understand everything. My friend, remember, they didn't even know he was going to die on a cross. My friend, nowhere had they been taught that the Son of God would die on a cross. They thought again that he would be a king. But the Bible says that he came obedient unto death, the death of the cross. Amen. My friend, there they were in that upper room. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, I tell you what, can you imagine what happened on that day as they were there in that upper room praying? And my friend, all of a sudden, the Bible says, there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house, and all they were sitting. And, of course, the cloven tongues of fire was, and it sat upon with them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Here we're talking about 11 men that were dumb and ignorant. My friend, now, I don't know, I told my class this. You got to remember, the Jewish theology taught everybody that if you were from Galilee, you were dumb and ignorant. How many remembers that? They were dumb and ignorant if they were from Galilee. Now, if you were from Jerusalem, you were smart, you were wise, you knew about God and all the scriptures and all of that. Now, can anybody tell me what one disciple was out of the 12 that was from Jerusalem? Who was it? Anybody tell me real quick? Like, Judas Iscariot was the only one out of the 12 that was from Jerusalem. The others all from Galilee, dumb, stupid, and ignorant. Isn't that amazing? I don't know what that's. I don't think that's no coincidence, brother. Brother, the Bible says he was a devil from the beginning, amen? But anyway, what really happened on the day of Pentecost? These dumb and ignorant fishermen who little did not know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not really know much about the church. Remember, it was a mystery from the foundation of the world. Paul talks about how that God showed him about the church age and how that it was going to be established. Now, when you read the book of Acts, quickly I'll tell you this. You'll find, now go with me to verse number 14 of chapter 2. Just give you a few little thoughts here. I want you to notice here in Acts 2 and verse 14. You'll find it says, but Peter standing up with the 11. Now, here throughout the book of Acts, you'll find that there are two or three or four prominent figures throughout the book of Acts. Now you say, where are the 11? My friend, listen, the 11 is there. You can mark it down. They were there. It says in verse 14, but Peter standing up with the 11. I don't understand, but yet God chose to use Peter in the first part of the book of Acts, along with John, maybe one more or so, and then from chapter 13 through the rest of the book, he chose to use Paul and his associates as the prominent figures throughout the book of Acts. And so I'd already told my class, and I'll tell you tonight, that Jesus told them in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the last words that he told them men there before he went up to heaven, he said, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to teach all creatures. I want you to follow after me. He told them in Luke that he said, you're witnesses of these things. And so when we come to the book of Acts, the question is, did they go? Did they act? And my friend, let me tell you that they did go. And they did act. And my friend, there they began to go with the gospel. And they went into the whole world during those next 30 years. You say that's impossible, my friend, but yet you got to realize the known world at that time is not like it is today. Amen. I think we got enough sense to know that. And so we see that the next 30 years, the Bible says they went into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature. And let me say, I believe as they died one by one, martyred dead, I believe, Brother Greg, they could shake their hands with clean hands and say, we have done what God told us to do. Amen. That was the first 30 years of the church. My friend, I wonder, as I look out tonight, sure we've got our missionaries and sure we've got our mission boards, but my friend, I'm still wondering when I talk with people that are in my own job, on my own crew, that do not know about the Lord Jesus. My friend, they are ignorant about the great salvation that he's brought to us. And I say, oh God, we've aimed at nothing and we've hit it tonight. My friend, that ought to stir our hearts. My friend, to go with the gospel every chance that we can. And I believe this church does. I believe we do, Brother Greg and Brother William, Brother Jerry, all you men tonight, all you deacons and Sunday school teachers and bus workers and everybody. I think we're doing, I believe, a good job. But oh, my friend, how much more can we do? Oh, here those 12 men, they begin to go out. And so let me just share with you real quick, like, what really happened there at Pentecost. Now you got to go back with me real quick, like. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me real quick, like, to John chapter number 14. I want to share with you three things, three very important things that happened at Pentecost. Three very important things that happened at Pentecost in John chapter 14. Number one, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus told them, he told those 12 apostles that the Holy Ghost was going to set up permanent residence within them. Amen? I mean, the Holy Ghost, now, most of us know that, but hey, he told them. Now, these were dumb and ignorant guys. Friend, they didn't have no certificate from the local seminary. My friend, they were not graduates from all those schools. They didn't know that. But yet Jesus told them, he said, the Holy Ghost will come and set up permanent residence within you. Amen? And on that day, friend, of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, he went inside of them in their heart and set up permanent residence within them. Amen. How do we know that? Well, let's go to Acts or go to Ephesians real quick like Paul. He sort of nails it down real quick like in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Notice what he says here, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You and I tonight, where is the Holy Spirit? He's in the inner man. He's on the inside of us. And my friend, he strengthens us day by day. All right. So we see the first thing that really happened at Pentecost. You say, what about the tongues? And what about all these other things? Well, that's a different story. And I'm not going there tonight. I believe these are what I'm going to give you tonight are three very important things that was going to help them, those 12 men there in that upper room. I'm not talking about the other hundreds or other thousands that were going to later come, but my friend, this was the very foundation. This was the very core that God was going to use to get the church going those first 30 years. And my friend, I'm going to make a statement after when I get through with this, and I believe it to be true. All right? Does everybody understand that? John 14. And look at verse number 16. And Jesus is talking to them now in the upper room. And he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Amen? And so here those 12 men, those 11 men, they're standing there. And Jesus said, the comforter is going to come. The paraclete, the one that's going to walk alongside with you. He's going to come and he's going to be with you forever. And brother, don't you know their mouth probably opened and they said, okay, Lord, he's going to come. Amen. And we don't understand it, but he's going to come. All right. So then Paul later on said in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, he said that even the Spirit crieth within our hearts, Abba, Father. And so tonight, thank God, I've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. Amen. Now those men, my friend tonight, were filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Can I say that again? They were filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now brother, that had to be a sight. That had to be some more experience. Now friend, what did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians? I think it is one of the verses. No, Ephesians. He said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, he said, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, friend, that is not a suggestion. That is a command tonight. And I know, listen, you'll never be filled with the Holy Spirit until we get empty of this world and get empty of the things that is contrary, this old flesh. And I know this flesh is going to dog us and trail us to the grave, but my friend, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, I don't want this whole world. I want the Holy Spirit to come. And I know he's in my heart. My friend, I don't know whether you know it or not, young Christian, but when Jesus Christ came and on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible says that while he was praying, isn't that amazing? Luke says, Matthew didn't say it. John didn't say it. But Luke said that while he was praying, the Holy Ghost came.
Yeah.
And my friend, it came upon him. And my friend, Jesus Christ went forth in the power of the Holy Ghost. And my friend, he did not leak down. He did not get in the flesh. Now, he had some holy anger, indignation in John 2, but my friend, he was still filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. And for those 3.5 years, Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Brother, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
But you see, I leak down.
Yes.
And you leak down. And my friend, we get in the flesh. But my friend, what I'm trying to tell you tonight, that those 12 men, God the Holy Ghost came and put inside their heart permanent residence from there on out. Amen. He didn't leave them. He didn't come and go, but he was inside of them, empowering them to preach and to teach and to follow and be a witness of all these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Number 2, you might want to write this down. Now go with me to John 16 real quick like. What really happened on the day of Pentecost? Now, friend, get off the tongues. Now, hey, how many remember I said this was a compulsory feast, Pentecost? How many was in Jerusalem during that feast? Millions of Jews were there. Now, most of us know the story. The Bible says there were devout men of all nations. How about that? Not just 100, not just 200, but friend, there were literally thousands and thousands and maybe a million there in the city of Jerusalem that day of Pentecost. And my friend Peter, standing up with the 11, began to preach. And my friend, it said what, 3,000 got saved on that day. Amen. But my friend, you got to keep in mind, people from all nations were there. Thousands were there, and they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, number 2, they had the permanent residence of the Holy Ghost within them. Number 2, go with me to John 16 and verse number 13. Now, brother, this is very important. The Bible says in John 16, 13, howbeit when he, pronoun into noun, pronouns in the noun. Remember that. You got to remember that. Pronouns in the noun. When he, the Holy Ghost,
yes,
the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. You're talking to some dumb and ignorant fishermen. Brother, Jesus said when he has come, he'll guide you into all truth.
Yes, sir.
I like that little word, all. They just didn't get a little bit.
Yes.
Friend, I'm talking to the 12 now. You got to remember, you got to go back to there and then, who they were, what God was going to give them to do, and what their commission was to do. He said, he will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got to remember that now.
Yeah.
Did you know that the church, that first 30 years in the book of Acts, how many remembers Acts chapter 15? What went on in chapter 15? Brother, they had a mess there, brother. Brother, the Jews said to Gentiles, we ain't letting them in. Amen. They ain't going to be. Brother, the Jews said, you got to keep the law. You got to be circumcised and all of that. Now, I'm not, you know what, brother? You know, Brother Gray knows what I'm talking about, the law. That law, you got to keep the law. You got to be circumcised. And guess what? The disciples, the apostles had to go in there and settle that thing. Now, aren't you glad that Jesus said the Holy Ghost is going to come and he's going to guide you into all truth?
Yes,
now, just what? What would have happened if he had not come and guided them into all truth? They'd been sitting there fiddling their thumbs and saying, what are we going to do? I don't know, Paul said or Peter said, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm glad they knew what to do. Amen. Now, they settled that thing right there in Acts chapter 15, brother.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. You understand what I'm saying now, church?
Amen.
He's talking to 12 men who Paul said that that's the foundation, the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Amen. Does anybody understand?
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is now inside you permanently, and number 2, he's going to guide you into all truth. Amen. All right.
Yeah.
Number 3. Give you one more here. All right. It was first to the 12 to solve the problems. Amen. Look at what Acts chapter 6. What happened there, brother? Problems again. Problems. Among the Grecians, the widows are being neglected. Somebody had an idea. Hey, choose you out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother, that's truth, isn't it? Truth coming out. Again, thank God they just sitting there twiddling their thumbs. God, the Holy Ghost told them what to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Now, number 3. And brother, hallelujah. You gotta remember this is to the 12 now. To the 12. He will come upon the 12 and give or endow extraordinary powers like no one has ever had before. You agree with me? Say amen.
Amen.
He came upon those 12 men and gave them extraordinary powers like nobody's ever had before.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And my friend, they went, and brother, in Acts chapter 3, old Peter and John walked into the temple there, and my friend, there was that man begging, and Peter told him to get up and walk. Amen. Brother, what power? Hallelujah. Brother, they raised the dead. My friend, they healed people. They had extraordinary power, those 12 men. Now, what about today? Well, let me tell you what. I don't think they got it, brother. I think when the apostles died, my friend, that power died with them. Now, God can do anything he wants to do, but I'm talking about on the day of Pentecost, what really happened. The Holy Ghost came and permanently indwelled them. My friend, there he would guide them into all truth, and he came upon them and gave them extraordinary power. Hallelujah. That's what really happened on the day of Pentecost, brother. Amen. All right. I'm going to make a statement now. What would have happened if that had not come to pass? The church would have never lasted, friend. It would have never lasted. But friend, they nailed it down. Those first 30 years, you follow what I'm saying? They nailed it down, friend. Thank God those 12 men went there and God gave them extraordinary power. My friend, he gave them all truth and they had the Holy Ghost walking with them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, what really happened?
Amen.
I know they said they spoke in languages. I think they spoke in languages myself. And all of them heard it, brother. And he even gives the list of it there in Acts chapter 2. Amen. I mean, I think there's 16 different nations right there that he mentions there in Acts chapter 2. And they all heard it in their own language. They heard the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. Oh, praise God. That's what really happened on the day of Pentecost. Those 12 men. Hallelujah. And my friend, they went into action. Jesus said, get going. And they got going. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought tonight for you.
That's good.
What really happened on the day of Pentecost. Brother, you got to look at the 12 men. And there in that upper room, God said, this is going to happen to you. And they waited and the Holy Ghost came. And my friend, what they did for the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. We all say because of Paul the Apostle and his great missionary endeavors, the gospel finally reached around the world and one day came to the United States of America. And hallelujah, we heard the gospel and Jesus saved us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because of 12 men. Later, Paul, I know, became one to the Gentiles. But hey, aren't you glad that those 12 men, God used them there? I know we have associates and all that others and others received the Holy Ghost later on throughout the book of Acts. And I'm glad that happened on the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost came. Amen. Well, that's my message tonight. Hope it was a help to you.
Amen.
Brother, if it had not come, where would we be today?
Yes, sir.
Where would we be today?
Amen.
Aren't you glad those 12?